Last Wednesday night, we, of course, had the missionary family, the Trawicks. Before that, we had just closed a series on the armor, and we're going to have a time this summer when our lay ministers are going to be sharing on Wednesday night. And that didn't work out for this evening, but I'd like, so you're stuck with me, so I'd like for you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. I started to say, I learned a long time ago not to question the Lord when He impresses something on your heart. You wonder, why that? But I really haven't learned that because I still ask that. So we just go ahead and let the Lord take care of what He wants to accomplish. I love the epistle, 1 John, and it's a tremendous epistle, just so much in it, little space. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. John said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Later John says, "Perfect love casteth out fear." Perfect love casteth out fear. There's so much about love here. Love is a broad subject. And just the verses that I read, not just love alone, but there's so much in those verses that we're going to have to not pay attention to. But I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open. But I want you to look at verse 7. I want to just take three words there and let us focus on them tonight. But the apostle said, "Let us," speaking to Christian, that'd be us. "Let us love one another." I tell you what the message is tonight in a nutshell. Love isn't just necessary to please God. Love does good both to the one that shows it and to the one that receives it. It pleases God when we love one another, but we just need to love one another for what it does when we show it and when we receive it. You know, the world, they talk a lot about this, but they don't know anything about it. Let's pray. Father, the same Spirit, Lord, that inspired John to write these words, inspire our hearts tonight to receive. God, You know every need represented in this body tonight, and You know what You desire to accomplish. Lord, I pray that the enemy, Lord, would be pushed back from our minds and our hearts, and Christ would be allowed to do His work tonight in His people. Lord, anoint this word in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. You might not have ever taken the time to count them, but in five short chapters of this epistle, love is mentioned 33 times. That's a lot of times. Amen. 33 times in a short epistle, love is mentioned, the love of God. And it should be no wonder to us that this emphasis comes from the one that laid His head on Christ's bosom. And that's a wonderful picture of the Last Supper that we like to see and to think about. This disciple that was particularly close to the Lord, in His humility, He didn't even name Himself in His own gospel. He didn't say, "And John," or "I laid my head on the bosom of the Lord." He said, "The disciple whom Jesus loved." But what I want you to notice is, it says that John, and there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. Why was he leaning his head on Christ's bosom? Because he loved Jesus. And then the scripture said, and Jesus loved him. And so just take this apostle John that wrote what I just shared with you. You see, in his life, he both received the love of God and he showed the love of God. Amen. That is loving one another. You know, there's a tradition, and it checks out pretty far in history, that John was one of the only apostles that wasn't martyred. They tried to burn him in oil and he wouldn't burn. And so he lived up into his older age. And if we had time, we'd go to the end of John and talk about what Jesus had to say about that. You know, that's when Jesus told Peter to mind his own business. And, you know, what happened to John's going to happen to John. What's going to happen to Peter is going to happen to Peter. But John lived way up in years. And the tradition says that he finally got just a bit senile. And he got weak physically, and they would have to carry the Apostle John to church when he was in his later life. And they would carry the Apostle John to church and sit him down there. And over, he would suddenly interrupt service with these words. He would say, "Little children, let us love one another." They might be singing, and pretty soon here goes John in his deteriorating state. "Little children, let us love one another." Over and over, of course, the apostle, they wanted to hear from him whenever he had something to say. But that stuck with John, even up in those years, as the all-important thing. And he's saying it. Here it's the apostle saying it to his church. "Let us love one another." And just reading his words, maybe we can hear the apostle tonight as if he were sitting here amongst us and interrupting service. A welcome interruption and saying to us, "Little children, let us love one another." That was John's message. Now, you say, "Pastor, why are you preaching on this? Do we have some problem I need to know about or don't want to know about? Or is there somebody ill-treating somebody? Is somebody mad at somebody? Has somebody had it out with some?" No to all of those questions. But I feel in my heart, we need the message of love, because how many has noticed, just by taking note of the news, of how much hate there is out there in the world right now? Hate being demonstrated. I mean, folks are angry. I mean, there's turmoil. There's violence in the economic realm, the political realm. The entertainment's all about violence, and families, just everywhere you look, there's trouble. There's turmoil. It's a hateful world, and I believe that world needs to see demonstrated the power of love. And who's going to do it? The world don't know anything about it. If this world sees love, it's going to be the believers loving one another. How many believes our world needs love, the love of God, the true love? And then I'm also preaching tonight because I believe love is a great power. And when folks demonstrate love and it's seen demonstrated and people receive love, love does some great things. I believe love changes. How many can say your heart was changed by the love of God? Love will do something. There's some things we need to see done. Some solutions we need to have. I'll tell you what's going to do it. Love. 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 Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard of a man, Carl Menninger. I ran into him years ago when I first got called to preach as a teenager. He wrote a book that struck people, particular back then. He wrote a book called Whatever Happened to Sin. How many's ever heard of that book? Carl Menninger, who wrote Whatever Happened to Sin. What I didn't know is he actually had a clinic for mental health. And he had all kinds of patients through his clinic. And after years of running that clinic, Carl Menninger said, "You know, everybody that's come to my clinic, I've noticed one of three things are true about them. The reason they're having problems, the reason they had to come to my mental health clinic is one of these three reasons." He said, "Number one, they didn't have anybody to really love them." He said, "Number two, they were a person that didn't really show anybody love." And he said, "The third person that was in the clinic was one that both those things were true. They didn't have anybody to love them, and neither did they show love." I thought that was so important, that that would be the observation, the reason people's lives are in a mess, and there's turmoil and emotional problems and mental problems. It boils down to they didn't show love or receive love or do either. But I believe love is a powerful thing. Could I summarize these verses and simply say, true love is God at work. True love is God at work, because God is love. Are you glad we can say that tonight? God is love. It'd be a horrible thing to have to stand up here tonight and say, God is hate. Wouldn't that be horrible? But God is love. And so true love is God at work. You know, the philosophers, the poets, the novelists, they've all tried to define love, and I think they have failed. And I'm not going to define it tonight, but let me give you a description of love. I think love is doing something sacrificially for another person without thinking of oneself or expecting any benefit for oneself. I think that's love. When you sacrificially do something for someone else's benefit, not thinking of yourself or thinking of what benefit it'll bring to you. Amen. God certainly did that when He loved us, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I'm not preaching just a philosophy or theology tonight. I believe if we'll do that, amen, we'll experience the power of God in our lives. When we, even the remainder of the week, will sacrificially do something for another without thinking of ourselves or the benefit to ourselves. But I want to just briefly take what Carl Menninger said. He said folks have problems, number one, because they don't show love to others. Amen. They don't show love or to others. To love someone else is to put their need, to put their desire, to put their preference before your own. You know, I think many times, you know, I heard this, you have 2 years ago, about that fella. He said, he's standing outside his girlfriend's house, and he said, oh, I love you. He said, I'd climb the highest mountain and I'd swim the deepest river and I'd face the most violent wolves. I'd do anything for you. I love you. And then we got ready to leave. He said, I'll see you tomorrow night if it doesn't rain. You know, people can talk in big grandeur about love, but it boils down to the simple things of life. I've talked to our young married couples. It's when you as a husband are tired, but you see your wife is overworked, and so you just say to her, honey, go sit down. I'm going to do dishes tonight. Does that happen? That's love. Of course, it could work the other way. Honey, you're tired. Go sit down. I'll change the oil this time. I've even got the children with me. What I'm trying to illustrate is it's not some grand scheme of things. It's an everyday life and living. If you really love folks, we're talking about let us love. If you really show love, you put their needs before your own. You're tired, you do what the child desires. You think of what your brother and sister need in a service and not just what you want in a service. It's love. It's showing concern for another, showing forgiveness, amen, showing tolerance. Number two, he said there's some folks, they have not received love from one another, or from others. You know, the Bible says that God's people are to love one another, but that another has to let himself be loved. Love one another, but that another has to allow himself to be loved. I don't know if it's original with me. There's very little original stuff in the world, but I remember saying through the years of trying to help people and care for people and be concerned, and finally I just tell my wife, it's hard to hug a porcupine. Do you know some folks are porcupines? You try to care. You try to love them. You might as well hug in a porcupine. I mean, they hold you off. And those that don't allow others to love them, the interesting thing is those that don't allow folks to love them, they're usually the ones that complains that nobody loves them. Have you ever noticed that? You know, I don't want to get too close to home, but I'm thinking of an incident a few years ago. A lady came to the church and got saved, and I saw our lady show great love to her and everything, and it wasn't long she was complaining that no one wanted to fellowship with her. And I thought of, back then we had women's meeting, I thought of all the times my wife and other ladies invited her to the women's meeting and different things that the church did, different fellowship. Never there. You know, some come late and leave early. And yet nobody likes them. Well, I'm convinced a lot of folks saying that nobody cares, nobody likes them. It's just, they're porcupines. They don't let anybody love them. Amen. We got to receive love from one another. It isn't just in somebody saying, I love you. You're the greatest thing that ever happened. It's the fact that they walk across the church to shake your hand, or they send you a card, or they make an effort to include you in their lives. Amen. Even love is shown in many ways, but it must be received. And I just admonition to porcupines, you know, don't be like that. Let people love you. Let people care. You say, well, I just don't want to take the risk. Isn't there a risk of being hurt? How many's heard that? I don't get close to anyone because I don't want to get hurt. Anyone heard that? I want to tell you, there is a risk of being hurt. Because we got fallen nature. You know what is true? If somebody is close enough to you to love you, they are close enough to you to hurt you. And it's those that you allow to get close enough to hurt you that are really close enough to love you. There is a risk. And you cannot live without risk. You can't walk across the street without risk. You can't go to the grocery store without risk. But I'm telling you, living with the risk of being hurt is far better than living and not allowing folks to love you and care about you. That's just human nature. Now let us love one another. But the another has to let themselves be loved. And then he said there's those that neither show or receive. You know, some folks are givers, 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 and they're wired, they can't hardly receive. And then they just give out giving. There's going to be a time you're going to have to receive. And then there's others that take, and end up like the Dead Sea with no outlet since they're not given. They're stagnant and stale and bitter. But it's those that have learned to give and receive the love of God. Amen. Show and receive. Amen. If it warmed your heart, if it meant something to you when somebody else said it to you and did something to you, don't you think that if you would do that for another, it would help them? Think of what it means to you when folks go out of their way and say words of encouragement or include you in something. Amen. It would help others then if you would do that as well. Amen. You know, the truth of the matter is, wherever we're at in our life, whether we're these young people or the rest of us here, amen, this is true of God and it's true of people. We're either getting closer to people or we're getting further away. We never just stay in a stagnant pool. We're either getting closer to people or we're getting further away. I'm telling you, God wants us to love one another. Love one another. I'm going to briefly then summarize these verses. And here it is. And there's so much here, but I just want to leave this with you tonight. I want you to look with me, if you would, here in verse 7. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth of God. So listen to what John's saying. He's saying our assurance of salvation and our assurance that we're saved, our assurance that we have a relationship with God is evident when we love one another. How do we know we're saved? Because we love the brethren. How do we know we're passed from death unto life? Because we love the brethren. And so Paul said, he that loveth knows he's been born again. He that loveth knows that he knows God. And so it's when we love one another that we have the assurance that we're saved and we have the assurance that we're in relationship with God. You know, John also says, he that cannot love his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? That's a good one to learn to quote to your kids. You can't get along with your brother. You don't love your brother and sister. The Bible says you can't love God. You don't love God. Amen. But it's when we love one another, we know we're born again. How's that work? Well, we know we're pretty much unlovable. And we know other folks are unlovable. And so when we actually love somebody that's unlovable, that had to be a work of God in our life. We've got to be a born again creation. And then I want you to notice, John's also saying that God is only at work in our lives in proportion to how much we receive and demonstrate love to others. Look in verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. God is at work in our lives in proportion to our demonstrating and receiving love from others. And then I want you to look at that verse 12 again, because it tells us something else. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Brother Bill touched on this Sunday night, but this world doesn't see God. We don't have a physical representation. We don't have a statue. We don't have an idol. God doesn't come down in fire. I mean, this world doesn't see God. And John said, no man sees God. But if we love one another, they see God in us. They see God dwelling in his people. Amen. One of the first major converts to Christ was a Tertullian, and he was an antagonist to Christianity, and was instrumental in taking Christians to the Colosseum and see him slaughtered. But when he saw the way facing the Colosseum and in the Colosseum, the way they loved one another, he observed that several times, and he said, those Christians, oh, how they love one another, and seeing their love one for another, he converted to Christianity and was one of the first great scholars and preachers in the church, because that's the way the world sees Christ, in the love we show one towards another. I don't think Christians should ever be hateful to one another, do you? And I don't think Christians ought to be hateful to the church. I didn't say that right. I don't think Christians ought to be that too, but I don't think Christians ought to be hateful to the world. Well, them old pagans. Well, they may be pagans, but aren't you glad God loved the world? Amen. I don't think Christians should be hateful to one another, leaving anybody out, not accepting that we can be Christians and have different viewpoints and opinions of things. You know, sometimes we can just get quite angry at somebody just because they got a different viewpoint than we do on something. Amen. We ought to love one another. Christians shouldn't be hateful, unforgiving of others' mistakes and sins, and neither should Christians be hateful to those of the world. They may have a different political view than we do, being a different political party, amen, but we don't hate them. We show them love. They're of the world. They may have a sinful lifestyle, a destructive lifestyle, but we love them. Amen. They're in the world. They may be antagonistic against Christianity, but we love them. Their vote may be canceling out our vote, but we are to love them, and that's how they see God, through the love of his people. Well, let's go through a little checklist here. We do not love if we're quick to criticize. We do not love if we do not think of the effect of our words and our actions on others. We do not love if we always conclude that our way is better, our need more important, ours is more that should be stressed. We do not love if we do not put up with others' idiosyncrasies the same way we want them to have patience with ours. We do not love if we do not show the same grace and forgiveness to others when they mess up, the same grace and forgiveness we would desire when we mess up. We do not love if we think first and only of our preferences, our enjoyment, instead of that of others. We do not love if we cannot empathize with others in their need and pain and grief. I'm not saying we don't love one another. I'm just saying the apostle, once again, he's in the church, and once again he's saying, children, love one another. You'll know you're born of God. You'll see God at work in and through you, and the world in this ungodly society around us, when they see you love one another, they're going to see God. Amen. Jesus went as far to say, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. In our hateful and vitriol-filled world, our love should be noticeable for its difference. And this world needs the love of God. Broken homes, evil and hatred, all the anger that's everywhere. They need to see the love of God. I tell you, we do need to stand for our principles as Christians. How many believes we need to stand for our principles as Christians? We need to refuse to compromise what we believe in. We should proclaim our Bible-based worldview in every arena of life, economics and politics. But with all of our speaking of our principles and views, we ought to speak it in love. Paul said in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Did you know truth alone makes critical and harsh, hateful and arrogant? Truth alone, harsh, angry, arrogant. And love alone makes soft and tolerant and principleless and compromising. But truth in love will make a difference in our world. Hallelujah. Music, would you come? I've shared several times it had a great impact on my life, but about 12, 15 years ago, PMA convention, Highway of Holiness, hosted it that year. And we had a good service. It really wasn't dealing with this, but I remember after service, I was there praying. I was just asking God to help me be a better pastor. So I got to praying. I said, oh, Lord, help me to love people more. Help me to love people more. Have you ever prayed that? Yeah. Lord, help me to love people more. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me in a moment. He said, if you'll focus on loving me more, you won't have to worry about loving people more. I believe that's true. Focus on loving God. And how did he say love him? With all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our... That's pretty much it. Amen. C.S. Lewis said, everybody thinks forgiveness is a good idea until it's their turn to forgive. Amen. Back in 1883, a young man called to the ministry, Joe Roberts. In 1883, it was still wild out in the West, and he felt the call to go work with the Indians, the Shoshones in Wyoming. Single man, got on the stagecoach. He ended up where he was headed in Wyoming. He got there in a blizzard. Just days later, an Indian, Native American, son of a chief of the Shoshones, got in a brawl with one of the soldiers that was stationed in the fort there, and this soldier shot this Indian boy, shot him to death. When the dad heard about the chief, Washaki was the dad, the chief of the Shoshones, he took a vow and he said, here he is back in his camp up in the mountains, he said, the first white man I see, I'm going to kill him in revenge of my son's death. Of course, the snow had people kind of blocked in, snowed in, but the word got out. Joe Roberts, that newly come missionary, single man, he heard that word. He went 15 miles through the snow and found that Indian camp. Stood outside the chief's teepee and began to yell, come on out here. The chief came out and Joe Roberts opened up his coat and his shirt. He said, I heard what you said you were going to do, but if you kill the first white man, you're going to start a feud. And a lot of men with families are going to die. No one knows I'm here. No one knows I've come and I don't have a family. So go ahead, just kill me and fulfill your vow and leave the rest of them alone. That Indian chief was all stricken and he stood there for a moment. And then he emotioned Joe to come into his teepee and said, tell me what would make you do something like that. And Joe Roberts began to share with that Washiki, that chief of the Shoshones, the love of Christ. And when Joe Roberts left the teepee, Chief Washiki had become a Christian and got rid of his vow and had love in his heart as well. Isn't that what Christ done for us? Hallelujah. He didn't just offer himself. He took it for us. And that's the love that we have, and it's unique to the Christians. How's this world going to know God? By your love one to another. Oh, are you thankful for the love of God tonight? That's the love we show. We show others the love that he shows us. Let's thank him for his love across the building. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you tonight. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the kindness of your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, help us, Lord, to love with your love. Not only the lovable, Lord, but the unlovable, God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. People have got messed up lives. I've seen it in action in the church. I'm just encouraging us to continue. But folks that walk through those doors are going to be so messed up. They don't need more criticism. They know what they are. They know what they've done. They need the love of God shown them by the people of God. They need to be able to see that other folks know what love is. Amen. Let's stand across the building. Amen. Would you just do? I know you can't take what God spoke to me, but could you just take that to heart as you come to the altar and say, oh God, I want to love you more. And in turn, I'll be able to love folks more. Amen. Could you come and pray that? This is for everybody tonight. Let's just come and fill these altars. And if you're here and you've refused the love of God, would you come and let God love you tonight? Would you come and let God love you tonight and help you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the love of God, so rich and full, so measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. Let Him love you. Let God love you. Don't be a porcupine. Let God love you. Hallelujah. Let God love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's come thanking for His love. Let God love you even in this altar. Let Him speak to you and love you and help you. Hallelujah.